वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायण नमस्कृत्यम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदायो नमो नमः। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोविष्टम् स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्याय नामने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, The Brahmana's Wives Blessed, text number 45. Nanu Swartha Bimudhanam Pramattanam Gruhehaya Aho naha smarayam das asa Gopa vyakyai satam gatihi Nanu swartha vibhudanam Pramattanam gruhehaya Aho naha smarayam asha Gopa vakye satam gatihi Nanu swartha mimodhanam Pramattanam gruhehaya Aho naha smarayam asa Gopavakyahi satam gatihi Matajis. Nanu, indeed, Swartha, about their own true benefit. Bimudhanam, who were bewildered. Pramattanam, who were intoxicated. Griha ihaya, with their household endeavors. Aho, ah, naha, us, smarayam asa, he reminded about gopavakyahi by the words of the cowherds, satam of the transcendental souls, Gatihi, the ultimate destination. Translation. Indeed, infatuated as we were with our household affairs, we have deviated completely from the real aim of our life. But now, just see how the Lord, through the words of these simple cowherd boys, has reminded us of the ultimate destination of all true transcendentalists. Text 46. Translation. Otherwise, why would a supreme controller whose very desire is already fulfilled and who is the master of liberation and all other transcendental benedictions enact this pretense with us who were to be controlled by him? Purport by disciples of His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, he humbly sent his cowherd boyfriends to beg food from the Brahmanas. In so doing, he exposed the Brahmanas' foolish arrogance and established the glories of his own transcendental beauty by attracting their very wives to surrender at his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So, big blessings of all assembled devotees to speak on this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. Not qualified. I'll try to speak a little bit as a course of service. So, this Krishna pastimes are unlimited, and here is one such beautiful pastime narrated by Sukadeva Goswami. And we see here how the Brahmanas are caught up in a network of ritualistic sacrifice. And we see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the second chapter itself, while inspiring Arjuna to do pure devotional service, starting with the verse 2.40, Neha Vikramana Asosti, that there is no diminution in the path of pure devotional service, basically. And then he kind of criticizes those who far from ritualistic sacrifices. He says, Ya imam puspitam vacha pravadanti, what is that? Abhipaschitaha. Beda vadarata partha, like that verse is there, second chapter. This is Beda vadarata partha. They're attached to performing ritualistic ceremonies of Vedas. Srila Prabhupada says, in the word-to-word translation, Vedavatarata means they are so-called followers of the Vedas, not actually followers of Vedas. Ya imam puspita vacham, they are attracted to the flowery words or promises of the Vedas. And the Acharya explained sometime, I read sometime back, that in the path of spiritual progress, like Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, we get this bhakti lata bij, we receive it from spiritual master, then we water with harinam and it grows, and finally it fructifies into pure devotional services, fruits comes. So in the path of progress, we should allow the progress to carry on gradually. And as the progress happens gradually, then there may be some nice flowers, it may come up. And we should not be attracted to the flower, but rather allow the flower to fructify to fruit. Just like these people, they are basically following Vedas, but while following Vedas, on the path, some nice other byproducts may come in terms of flowers. So being attracted to the fragrance of flowers, they don't allow themselves to dive further deep into Vedas, which is actually gives the ripened fruit of pure devotional service. They just get satisfied or distracted by the flowers. But actually, here the Brahmanas performing so many sacrifices, basically to raise themselves to the heavenly planets. But beyond heavenly planets is the form of beautiful Krishna's form of Sachidananda, Vigraha, Krishna's beautiful form, which is the real fruit of darshan of that, is real fruit of the devotional performance of sacrifices, whatever in the Vedas that recommend. So instead of having that fruit, they settle with some fragrance of flowers, and that is foolishness. So although it may appear that Krishna is criticizing some ritualistic ceremony of Vedas in Bhagavad Gita, like saying they are just attracted to flowery promises of Vedas and perform ritualistic ceremonies, but on the other hand, they are not allowing to dive deeper into the Vedas. Like Upanishad also recommends that we have to perform pure devotional service to Krishna, which is there in the Vedas, part of Vedas. So therefore, although they were performing so much of sacrifices and ceremonies, pompous ceremony, but they missed the fruit of the result of performing sacrifices, following the Vedas. That is Krishna's beautiful darshan. And whereas the Brahmana Patnis, although like they themselves say that we have initiated thrice born, Dvija, that is second that is initiation as brahmanas, then initiation to sacrificial ceremonies, three births, material body, birth, then diksha, then further diksha, one more degree. And we have studied so much of Shastra, we have practiced celibacy, we have done so much of tapasya, but these ladies, they have not done anything, any of these things. But how could they get the darshan? Because they were constantly hearing about Krishna. So this shows that how that process of bhakti beginning with hearing is so wonderful, so powerful, that even without going through any purificatory process, if one simply hears submissively with full attachment to Krishna, these ladies, they got darshan of Krishna. And they had the full knowledge. And here, the Brahmanas are saying that we are deceived by Krishna and Balaram, because they appear to be like a human form and very ordinary cowherd boys. We couldn't recognize. Then say, even the yogis, they can't recognize Krishna and Balaram. They get bewildered. Even the, if the yogis get bewildered, then what to speak of us? We are simple Brahmanas, you know. We are like inferior. It is natural for us to be bewildered. So we got bewildered. So this Srimad Bhagavatam describes these pastimes of the Lord, which is on the one hand very beautiful and attractive, on the other hand it is very bewildering also. It is bewildering to the Brahmanas, who are like actually learned in Vedas, performing sacrifices, very pure, very austere. It is bewildering to them. What to speak of ordinary people of this world? Although Krishna Katha is attractive and it attracts all kind of people. Srila Prabhupada explains that it attracts the heart of liberated souls, like pure devotees. They release Krishna Katha. It attracts those who are practicing to become liberated, like kind of all of us probably. We're attempting to become liberated. So it is also attractive to us. And it is also attractive to the karmis. Like, you know, Gauranga Prabhu was saying the other day that karmis want to hear about stories about boyfriend and girlfriends. So Krishna did so many pastimes in Vrindavan. And karmis want to hear about war, romance and war. War stories are very popular. So Krishna fought many wars in Mathura and while he was in Dwarka. So that is very attractive. People are interested in politics. So Krishna involved himself in Mahabharata war and spoke Bhagavad Gita. So in this way, it also attracts karmi's mind. They want to study, they want to research. There are many books actually by management people and all. They want to explain how Gita is very, very practical and required very much in our life. They write books, volumes of books. So in this way, Krishna is attracting everybody's mind. But at the same time, he bewilders everyone practically, except the pure devotees, who actually release, because Krishna says, Bhaktya Mama Vijananti, they actually know me. Although Krishna may appear to be playing with cowherd boys in the forest, they are throwing some fruits in the sky like balls and trying to hit another ball while it is falling, aiming like that. This kind of place they are playing. It is no big deal basically. All people play some games. So Krishna is also playing with his friends. So what is the thing that the pure devotees want to meditate on it? Why they want to meditate? It is explained because these cowherd boyfriends are not ordinary. They are pure devotees themselves. Some of them are actually demigods who descended to participate and see how Krishna performed these pastimes, how God performed these pastimes. That is quite, you know, interesting to see and watch. Therefore, they have also descended. So Prabhupada explains at one point that sometimes while endeavoring to perfect devotional service or liberation, some people end up in the heavenly planets. They cannot go further. They end up there because of their purity and all, everything. But then at a certain point of time when Krishna comes, he calls them to participate with him and go back to Godhead. It's like, okay, now we have done enough. You can come to such and such place, I am appearing. Like in the Bhagavatam, it is explained how Krishna actually tells Brahmaji, you can tell all the demigods to take birth in various places, in Yadu dynasty, Vrishni dynasty, all the places. And they can participate and cooperate in my performing my dharma, my activity to eradicate all the demons. They can help me. So Prabhupada says they have come so that they can perfect their devotional service with Krishna and then go back to Godhead. So these people are very extraordinary and their love for Krishna is very pure. And the way they deal while playing games, like sometimes Prabhupada, I think Radha Swami Maharaj was saying that in this world we also play games, but our motive is to compete and be the winner. That is the whole idea. And take the credit and all the prestige. But there, the agenda is not like that. Agenda is to simply play games and be happy. There is pure dealings among the devotees. And that's what attracts the pure mind of the liberated soul. They want to meditate on those pastimes. But for outside people who are not in that category, even to the Brahmanas and the yogis, it is very bewildering. So whole Krishna's pastimes are like that. Janma karma chame dibhyam. One who knows these pastimes in tattva, tattvataha, taktvadeham punarjanma naiti mam svaiti arjuna. If one comes to know this pastime in this truthness, in its fullness, in its essence, then one will actually be liberated completely and go back to Godhead. That's what Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita. So from the very beginning we see how Krishna's appearance is such a, kind of mystical happenings. It's like a dramatical things happening. Like the way it was announced that no eighth child of Devaki will be your killer. He will kill you, basically. But so many questions arises. If the demigods are Valvisar of all people in general, they are definitely Valvisar of Devaki and Vasudev. So by announcing this thing, they are creating troubles for Devaki, basically. Isn't it? By announcing that her son will be your killer, they are making Devaki's life very miserable. But still they do it. There are so many angles to this. Like Srila Prabhupada explains many places that because they wanted all these, Krishna to appear quickly. They wanted Kamsa to become inimical towards Devaki. Because Devaki was favorite sister of Kamsa. And he was actually showing so much affection to Kamsa. So the demigods thought in their mind, if so much affection is severed, probably when Krishna is born, Kamsa will love him also. It's like my speculation. It may appear like that. So there has to be some enmity between Devaki and Kamsa. Then only Krishna will take advantage of the situation and kill Kamsa. But if he is very friendly, very affectionate, then how does it going to happen? So all these kind of doubts were there. And as a result, they pronounced these words without appearing before Kamsa, without embodied, unembodied body spoke this. And not only that, when actually the first child was born, Kamsa returns, and Narada Muni also appears in the scene. Narada Muni is the Devarshi, he is the Devarshi, that is, he is the sage of the demigods. Naturally, he would always act on their behalf. And he comes to Kamsa. Now certain things are to be supposed to be done by certain people. Everybody cannot do everything. So here, instead of sending anybody else, they choose Narada Muni to go. It is said by divine arrangement, Narada Muni goes to Kamsa's house. It is explained like that. It's like by providence, desire of providence, he goes to Kamsa's house. Not that he wanted to go and create some mischief. He goes by the
divine arrangement, basically. Not exactly his own free will, but he actually follows the will of the Lord Providence. And because he is a sage who neither fears nor hates anybody, he could go and talk to anyone he likes, including Kamsa. Because he had no fear of Kamsa, and he doesn't hate Kamsa. That's sadhu's quality. So therefore, even Kamsa is attracted to Narada Muni. And because he knows that he roams all over and he has all the news. In those days there was no Google. So he kind of, Narada Muni was like going all over. So he would give all the information he needs. So as soon as Narada Muni comes to his palace, he immediately becomes very happy and receives him very nicely and makes him sit. And offers nice words, nice puja and everything. Then Narada Muni tells him that how I have been to all places, all demigods are having, Brahma, Shiva and all these people are having meetings. They had a meeting on the Mount of Sumeru, a separate private place, they had a meeting, I was there. And he said, I heard that they have a plan to kill all the demoniac race. And the demigods are appearing in all over, all the dynasty of Yadus. So as soon as Kamsa, Narada Muni then left. By saying this, he just left. But Kamsa started thinking, it just started ringing in his mind. That means, all the member, whoever he sees, they must be a demigod. And he was so afraid, so scared, that he even thought that his own father, they are also demigods. So he put everyone practically in the prison and took over the kingdom. So much fear he was living. And he started killing all the children of Devaki. So basically what Narada Muni did, he actually kind of instigated, kind of push little bit Kamsa, so that Krishna can appear and everybody can see the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. Because he knows perfectly well that Krishna cannot be killed and Kamsa is going to be killed. He knows everything. He knows the future. Even before Krishna left Vrindavan, Narada Muni approaches Krishna and tells him what he is going to do in future. Kind of reminds him and leaves Vrindavan. So he knows the future exactly. He knows how things are happening and how it is going to unfold in future. And therefore, when he does these things, like people generally misinterpret that Narada Muni is trying to do some kind of kalha or kind of create enmities, things like that. There is a wrong impression people have. But actually he is a exalted personality who is like spiritual master Vyasadev, Valmiki. He is the greatest of all sages. So he knows everything, but still he does it by the desire of providence. And while Kamsa is agitated and he is trying to do so many of offensive behavior activities, Narada Muni walks off very coolly. And he sees how things are going to happen as the time unfolds. It's kind of sometimes, I was thinking sometimes in Guru Puja, we see some devotees like to dance. They are very eager to dance, but somehow because of some reason they are not able to come to the whole, main arena. Then some expert people, they know how to push those people. They just go and do a little bit here and a little bit there and they start dancing. In a similar, but in a very opposite way, we see Narada Muni just goes and instigates Kamsa. Just starts him. And his atrocities begin like anything. He is totally in fire, full of anger, full of fear. He's trying to kill and always thinking. And he knew any child could be Krishna. And he knew that Krishna is going to kill him. He's convinced of that. That's why he's so fearful. He's convinced about that. So while killing each child, he was kind of testing whether this is Krishna or not. The child dies, that is not Krishna. Then his fear continues further. It's not that he thought this is Krishna and I killed. He's not relieved of any fear. He continues to kill child after child, trying to test whether it is Krishna or not. But Krishna ultimately appears and he escapes, as the story goes. And then all his childhood activities, everything is very bewildering. From his birth to till the time he spends in Vrindavan, it is all bewildering to ordinary people's vision. because it is actually Supreme Lord, but appears and behaves very, very ordinary. And so, when Krishna appears and behaves like this, he says, I am covered by the yoga maya potency, that nobody can know me actually, who am I? And here we see, in such a situation, the Brahmanas are not able to recognize Krishna and Balaram, although they are small children, appear to be small children, and they are mistaken, and saying that we are actually intoxicated, we are bimuda, we are foolish, grossly foolish, we make a big mistake. And Krishna and Balaram, they do all these kind of pastimes and continue to builder so many different grades of people except the pure devotees. That is the whole point. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any questions or comments? I'm sorry, I'm finished little early. Any questions? Any comments? Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.